There are many times in life when we exchange one thing for another. Sometimes that's in a negative way, but on many occasions it's a positive thing. I have a friend whose daughter passed her driving test this week and now exchanges her L plates for a full driving license. And her parents exchange their full bank account for an empty one. I have another friend who has exchanged on a house this week. We formally use that word in that context, don't we? They have exchanged, the point at which there is no going back on the sale of a house. A young woman may look forward to changing her name when she gets married as an outward expression of the change that has taken place. Someone else may be given the extraordinary gift of a donated organ, meaning a part of their body which doesn't function is exchanged for another that will give them life. And of course, there are many, many more mundane and everyday situations. Every time we buy something, we give money in exchange for whatever it is that we receive. Today, on Good Friday, we remember the greatest exchange of all, the exchange that happened at the cross when Jesus gave his life so that we might receive life. Why else would we call this day good? What is good about someone being betrayed, given an unfair trial, being condemned to death, beaten, flogged, mocked, and killed in one of the most barbaric of ways? Nothing is good about any of those things. But Jesus, taking our muck and rubbish, our hatred and our anger, our denial and our despair, our loneliness and our brokenness, and instead giving us love and trust and justice and community and freedom and new life, is the best thing ever. So let's take a look for a few moments at some of those specific exchanges that we see take place on this day, which we see not least in the words of Jesus from the cross. But first, at the beginning of our reading in verse 38, we hear of that exchange of Barabbas for Jesus. Pilate speaks of the custom of releasing one prisoner and tries to release Jesus. And yet the crowd shout back, "No, not him. Release Barabbas." Barabbas, the one who had been involved in an uprising. Barabbas, the one who had committed sin. And so the one who is guilty and deserves the punishment goes free. Jesus is crucified in his place. And Barabbas must have felt quite literally like the luckiest man alive that day. The death that he deserved was taken by someone else. He walks free because Jesus takes his place. And there's a very real sense in which we could put our name in the place of that of Barabbas. We walk into freedom because Jesus takes our place. Guilt is exchanged for freedom. And then hatred is exchanged for love. In verse 6 of chapter 19, we hear the angry shouts of the chief priests and the officials, even the very people who were supposed to stand for the same kind of things as Jesus. The ones who stood in a long line of people who from Old Testament times had led people in the worship of God. But in verse 15, we hear the crowd shouting again, take him away, crucify him. Throughout this whole narrative, we can feel the hatred, the condemnation, the mocking. And yet we hear the words of Jesus recorded for us in Luke's gospel. They weren't actually in the narrative that we heard this morning. But in Luke's gospel, one of the things that Jesus says from the cross is, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing." Even as the soldiers were nailing him to the cross, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them." Even in unbearable agony, Jesus prays that his persecutors would be forgiven. You may know that those two words are famously written in the ruins of the old Coventry Cathedral. "Father, forgive." Jesus receives hatred, and yet he gives back love and forgiveness. And then even in the horrible, distressing drama that unfolds, we see that Jesus gives community instead of abandonment and loneliness. It is almost impossible for us to imagine how abandoned and rejected Jesus felt in these hours, though some of us may have been through times in life when perhaps we have glimpsed something of what that was. One of Jesus' 12 closest followers had betrayed him and handed him over. Perhaps his closest follower had denied that he even knew him. Jesus was ridiculed and exposed in front of crowds of people. He was treated in the most excruciating of ways. From the cross recorded for us by Matthew and Mark, Jesus even cries, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Utter abandonment, loneliness in the extreme. And yet, in that moment, he creates connection and he creates community. In verse 26 of chapter 19, we read that he saw his mother standing by, along with the disciple whom he loved, almost certainly John. And Jesus says, "Woman, here is your son." And to John, "Here is your mother." Jesus sets them and us in relationship and in community. So if you are feeling lonely or isolated or desolate, know that Jesus draws you in too and longs to give you the relationship and community that you need to flourish. He provides us with the family of the church. And brackets, for those of us who do feel well connected and supported, let's not forget to be Jesus to those who are isolated and desolate. So guilt is exchanged for freedom, hatred is exchanged for love, isolation is exchanged for community or family. I could go on with that list. Failure becomes a future. Defeat becomes victory. Death becomes life. Sin is forgiven. All of these things are the exchanges that take place at the cross. But Jesus' final words from the cross say so much in three short words. "It is finished." It's one word in the Greek, tetelestai. The verb teleo means to bring to an end, to complete, to accomplish. And this time it's in the perfect tense. It's past. It is completed. It's not finishing. It is finished. It is done. It's the word that would be stamped on a bill when it had been paid in full. And Jesus doesn't say, "I am finished. My life is gone." But it is finished. It is completed. Once and for all and forever. The redemptive work of God is completed. As Paul reminds us in his letter to the Colossians, here at the cross, God forgave our sins. He disarmed the powers and authorities of this dark world, and he triumphed over them, and no one can undo that. It is done. It is complete. this day is good. And so today, will you receive again the gift that is the cross? Through the horror and darkness and pain of this day, will you receive the light that comes from it? Will you have the courage to bring to the cross the horror and pain and darkness of your own lives and of this world? In just a moment, we're going to have an opportunity to respond to those questions. As you came in, I hope you received a stick. You may have wondered what on earth you were being given a stick for as you came into church. It's only a small stick, you'll may be pleased to know. It's symbolic, but it's dead and it's lifeless. Imagine that if it were big, it might be a dead branch that actually was quite big and heavy to haul around, weighty and cumbersome. But it's symbolic of death and burden. But here at the cross, you may have noticed some flowers. Flowers reminding us of the blood of Jesus falling from the cross. But flowers that are living. And again, I know one small flower is only symbolic, but remember the colour, the life, the smell, the joy that flowers bring. And so I invite you this morning, as in a moment we're going to just invite the musicians to play, as we come to the cross, each ourselves, to come and exchange one for the other. And as you do, can I encourage you to lay down those things in your own life that come between you and Jesus? To lay down the things that need to be exchanged. Your own guilt and shame. Your own hatred. Because yes, it's in all of us somewhere. Even in our middle-class lives, in the middle of Guildford, sitting in church, deep down, we find hatred in our hearts. We bring our shame, our guilt, our hatred, our isolation, our loneliness to the foot of the cross. We bring our despair, our brokenness, our anger, our defeat, our failure, and not just for ourselves, but for our world. But we come and lay them at the foot of the cross and receive instead the freedom, love, community, hope, and future that Jesus has won for us at the cross. Jesus gave himself for us. Today, may we allow him to exchange our burdens for his love, his freedom, and his life, and receive the gift that he gives to us.